Telluride Women Ain't She Large, David Mitchell, the 12th Hour Apostolic Secretary and Congregation Mount Zion, 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 24, 2016, or 8 of the 4th month, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Till the Storm Passes By. In the dark of the midnight have I halted my faith. All the storms have above me in this no-hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Yah, hear my cry to be saved. Till the storm passes by, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the cloud roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of the hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there's no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know Thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storm never darkens the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright and peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Yah may hide with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. If they say, every storm passes by. War News Forecast Part 3, we're on page 23. We're going to refer to a prayer thought, though, taken from... Now let's change our prayer thought to Psalms chapter 18. It says, I will love thee, O Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my Elohim, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of the unrighteous men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon Yahweh, and cried unto my Elohim. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him. even into his ears. And the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. Yahweh also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Yahweh, at the blast of the breath of thy nostril. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of the many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemies and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Yahweh was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Yahweh rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh, and have not wickedly departed from my Elohim. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Yahweh recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the forward thou wilt show thyself forward, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks, for thou wilt light my candle. Okay, so what candle is that? That's the number 10 candlestick of Zechariah 4. Okay, the one with the golden bowl on the top of it. One of the two olive trees that represents the Old and New Testament beside it. The one that also represents the two witnesses in Revelation 11. This is the candle that he's lighting for us today. Yahweh has lit for the house of David today. For thou wilt light my candle, the Yahweh my Elohim will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through the truth, and by thy my Elohim have I leaped over a wall. As for Yahweh, his way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is Elohim save Yahweh, or who is a rock save our Elohim? It is Yahweh that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and sitteth me up on my high places. He teacheth my hands the war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arm. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and the right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried that there was none to save them, even unto the Yahweh, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small, as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. a people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. That's what they're going to do with Donald Trump. As soon as they hear of Donald Trump, they're going to obey him. Because he is Yahweh's deliverer, not only for the United States, but for the whole world. They shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their cold places, close places. For the Yahweh liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the Elohim of my salvation be exalted. Let's do that again. For the Yahshua, the Son, liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the Yahshua of my salvation be exalted. For it is Elohim that avenges me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies, yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Yahweh, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy unto his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Yahweh keeps giving me this in Psalms 18 through that word deliverance and delivered. He keeps giving that to me, and there's a reason for it. Because I'm reading to you now from our main theme, War News Forecast by V.T. Hollick, Track 14, written back in about 1943. And I'm on part 3, and I'm on page 23 now. And behold, today, it starts with that word behold. And I use that word also, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. So here's this David again. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Yahshua, or righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Yahshua, that they shall no more say the Yahshua liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And that was Yahshua. He is that rock in the cloud. We just read about that rock here in Psalms 18, where David says in verse 46, he said, the Yahshua liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the Elohim, Savior of my salvation, be exalted. For it is Yahweh that avenges me and subdueth the people under me. Okay? So it says, but the Yahweh liveth which brought, Yahshua liveth which brought up the children, brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country. And from all countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land, Jeremiah 23:5-8. The only way for the angel of Laodicea, Rhodes W. Johnson, upon whom, 2002, upon whom, at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, upon whom is the condemnation of being wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked and yet satisfied. That's the strange part, that a man can have all of the wisdom and knowledge be poured upon him from heaven, and he can execute Yahweh's will and do what he's commanding him to do at first, and then all of a sudden one day he rocks along there, and all of a sudden he ends up miserable, poor, blind, wretched, and naked, and don't even know what caused it. To enter into this glorious kingdom, it says, for the only way for the angel, Rhodes W. Johnson, of Laodicea, upon whom is the condemnation of being wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, naked, and yet satisfied, to enter into this glorious kingdom, is for him voluntarily to yield the reins of control over the church as he sees the Yahshua himself taking them into his own hands. Testimonies. The ministry space 300. That's Ellen G. White. Way back to over 100 years ago wrote this. Arouse, therefore, O angel, Brother W. Johnson, of the latest sin. Now this is a message given that applied in 2002. When I gave him that message on July the 14th, 2002, and said, repent and restore the daily, first thing out of my mouth, I said, this is a message straight from heaven. That's all I know. And he says, arouse therefore, O angel, brother W. Johnson of the latest sin, to heaven's stirring cry. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. So, Gilead Cinnabis, with the title of the holy city, okay, they were with the title of Jerusalem, and guess what? It wasn't old Jerusalem either, it was New Jerusalem. They had the message of New Jerusalem, and you'll find that right there in Revelation 3:12 that applied to Gilead Cinnabis. It's called New Jerusalem. So, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee, the uncircumcised and unclean. That's if he would arise, if he would awaken, awake, put on his strength, and O Zion, and put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Isaiah 52:1-3. That's actually Isaiah 52:1-8. In the present world war, and the one predicted by Nahum, and if the sealing or marking of the service of Elohim is to be completed without the angels having again to tighten their hold on the winds, early writings, page 38, Revelation 7:1, then the time to restore the excellency of Jacob and of Israel is at hand. So, Yahweh first got to cause the nations to take back their autonomy and freedom and restore the nations first. Talking about the righteous nations. Okay, and he's in the process of doing that right now. At long last has come to the hour for Zion's deliverance from the Gentile bondage. There's that word deliverance again that he gave me from my memory word this morning. That came out there in Psalms 18. He said, and for her children to return to the land of their fathers, Ezekiel 36:23-38. For the vineyard of Yahshua of the host, so let her stand ready and eager, awaiting Yahshua's order to start marching thitherward. It is at this time that Assyria falls, the reason being, chapter 2, verse 2, for the Yahshua hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches, having already, through the emptiers, chastened his people. Okay, the Yahshua will chasten them no more, but will now free them. Sharing with the nations the guilt for the mind, the branches of his vineyard, his kingdom, this modern Assyria must now share in the divine retribution, while Elohim has taken his people back to their own land. Inferentially, with the fall of the Assyrian, the Gentiles in possession of the promised land, the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Luke 21:24. Looking forward to this time of the deliverance, the angel explained to Daniel, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Yahshua in the holy mount at Jerusalem, Isaiah 27:13. glorious promise. Is your heart set up on it, brother, sister? Then without delay respond to the divine injunction. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man, shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith Yashir, whose fire is in Zion and his furnace in Jerusalem. Isaiah 31:6-9. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. Daniel 12:10. That how makes clear that in this conflict Yahweh interposes against Assyria, and that as a result she is unable to withstand him who dashes in pieces. And who is this that dashes in pieces? Well, the Holy Spirit just impresses me that this is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is this one that dashes in pieces and a typical Cyrus. Go read about it in the type. Okay, having set himself to humble her, he therefore strengthens the arms of her enemy. Accordingly, Assyria falls, not because she is weak and small, but because she is outnumbered and outmatched, but because Yahweh purpose determines her downfall. In other words, the coalition which may have the greater resources and manpower, which Obama at this point does have, and which from the human point of view may seem sure to win, is in this case sure to lose. So he that dashed in pieces is his antitypical Cyrus. We'll read about in a type how he went across the world in his day and subdued all the nations that was in his way. But he did it for a good reason. He freed the slaves. He freed the people back to their freedom and autonomy from their oppressors. Such is the ironic pattern of history. Always has Elohim visited judgment upon enlightened nations or peoples who have become so self-righteous and self-sufficient that their lives have gone out and their works become wicked and hypocritical. Ever has he punished them by the sword of the unenlightened and outright wicked barbarian. This he does for two reasons. First, that they might see the folly of professing themselves to be a righteous people, which they are in fact worse than barbarians. And second, that while these hypocritical ones are thereby led to repent, their conquerors may thereby be led to see that their victory is not of their own strength. Thus, both victor and vanquished are brought to a place where they may surrender to Elohim and give glory unto him. After defeating ancient Babylon, Cyrus, a barbarian, found that his victory, there it is right there, Cyrus, found that his victory and even his name had been recorded in the sacred prophecy years before he was born, Isaiah 44:28. 45:1-4. Whereupon the Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation. Now Donald Trump's already made a proclamation toward Israel already, throughout all his kingdom. And now what is Donald Trump's antitypical Cyrus? Where is his kingdom now? His kingdom headquarters is in New York, and he has a hotel called Trump Tower. Now, he's on the 26th floor. He has the whole floor. Thus saith King Cyrus of Persia, the Yahweh Elohim of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. There you have it. And he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Okay, so this Jerusalem over there in Israel is in the land of Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? Did Elohim be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. He is the Elohim which is in Jerusalem, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offerings for the house of Elohim that is in Jerusalem. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of Yahweh, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus king of Persia bring forth by the hand of Mithridat, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Shethbazar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, 29 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver, basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Shethbazar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. Ezra 1:1-4 and 7-11. So all the gold and silver and all the that was in the temple at Jerusalem and Judah, that was taken along with the captivity of the Judah by Nebuchadnezzar, all that was returned safely by this here barbarian king Cyrus that Yahweh had raised up just for that purpose. And so you see, not one thing of Yahweh's will ever be lost. It may go into captivity for a while, but the enemy cannot hold on to it. He can only abuse it and blaspheme it for a while. But Yahweh will bring an end to them and return his stolen treasury back to where it came from originally. That's what's happening today. 30 charges of gold, 1,000, okay. So it says, at this same time, those whom Cyrus freed from the Chaldean. Now this information I just read to you is found in Ezra 1:1-4 and 7-11. At the same time, those whom Cyrus freed from the Chaldean captivity knew that Elohim had wrought their deliverance. Now here it is. My key word that the Holy Spirit told me today to punch into my strong concordance on my computer was the word deliverance. And it led me to Psalms 18 again, and then now I've done read about this deliverance in my regular study a couple of times. So it says, hence the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of Yahweh with joy, and offered at the dedication of this house of Yahweh 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, and they set the priests in their divisions, and the Levites in their courses, for the service of Elohim which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month, that's at the going down of the sun on the 14th day, to start the 15th day, because the 15th day is when they eat the Passover in the beginning hours of the 15th day. For the priests and the Levites were purified together, all of them were pure, and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity. You know why they prepared the Passover service on the 14th day, which was not a holy day, and then they eat it on the 15th day, which is a holy day? You know why? Because they had to be purified before they could enter into the holy hours to partake of that holy ordinance. They had to have themselves purified by the offerings of these animals before the sun went down to start the holy day. It's the first time I've seen this. All right. and for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves, and the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the 15th, the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Yahshua Messiah of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of the unleavened bread 7 days with joy. Ezra 6:16-22. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a holy day. The last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a holy day. It's the eighth day, called the Solemn Assembly. The first day is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a holy day. It's on the 15th day. The ordinance of the Passover, which is the lamb itself, they killed on the going down of the sun, or in the last 3 hours of the 14th day, which is not a holy day. It's a preparation day. That's the reason why Friday, like we're in today right now, is a preparation day for the Sabbath. It's not a holy day, but it's a preparation day. So we're to get ourselves prepared to enter into this peaceful rest on the holy day. So, the 14th day is preparation day. The Friday, the 16th day, the 6th day of the week, and the 16th day of the first month, during the Passover week, is on a Friday. The 16th day is not a holy day. The 14th day is preparation day, which is not a holy day, but it's a preparation day. That's the reason why they had to prepare the lamb on the 14th day. The 15th day is a holy day. The 16th day is not a holy day, because it comes on a Friday in the Passover week. It came on a Friday on a Passover week 2,000 years ago. It came on a Friday on a Passover week in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Okay, a repeat of what took place 2,000 years ago, and Vertus even prophesied that that's what it was. And then he turned around and didn't understand what was going on when it happened. That Assyria and her allies folded together as thorns might today learn this same lesson. Yahweh permits them to become robbed and spoiled, then that they may be healed of their ailment. The Yahshua through Isaiah gives the background of their plight and the dietetic cure. Isaiah 7:1-16. Okay, we've had this many times before, but we're still always enjoy going back over this subject, because we always get new breaking light as we upgrade what's going on in the world. So, antitypical SARS, Donald Trump, now has been identified as this one that dashes in pieces. Okay. So now it says in Isaiah 7:1-16, when it came to pass, in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah, and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, not heaven, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, not the Yahshua. And within 65 years shall Ephraim, head of the 10 tribe kingdom of Israel in the north, that worships the two golden calves that Jeroboam set up when he was king, be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim in Samaria, not heaven. And the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son, not the Yahshua. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Okay, so now if you don't believe, you're not going to be established. Helen DeLong said, I have been established. With my wife, my newfound partner, because she's a prophet, she has inspiration, we have been established now as the head of Yahweh's kingdom now. And yet it says right here that if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. But believe in what? Believe in the truth. Alan DeLong turned his back on the truth, says this is not truth anymore. I have the truth now. So he doesn't believe the real truth, so he will never be established. He's not established, and he never will be. And neither will anybody else. Brother Johnson turned his back on the truth. He wouldn't hear the latest message from heaven. He couldn't be established to continue on. He got disestablished. Moreover, the Yahshua spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Yahshua, thy Elohim, or thy Savior. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Let's do that again. Ask it either, and see. Moreover, the Yahweh spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Yahweh, thy Elohim. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Yahweh. And he said, Hear you now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary man? But will you weary my Elohim also? Therefore the Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the lands Syria and Israel. Now we have Syria and Israel today very much in the limelight of things. That thou, of course, shall be forsaken of both her kings, Rezin and Pekah. Okay. So who is Rezin and Pekah today? Assad, the king of Assyria, that hates Israel. But Israel has joined league with Assad, Syria. And who is that? Who is this here? Rezin and Pekah then? Pekah is Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. He is a 33rd degree Mason. He is nothing but an enemy that is planted in there by this elite government of the United States, this beast system. They have trained him up in our schools, and they have groomed him to be one of their henchmen to overthrow Israel in the end time. And so Netanyahu, he stood for many good things, it appears, but really, and all in all, he's done the same thing to Israel that Obama has done to the United States. Now, you go back and check Netanyahu's record. He's been a great warrior. He was of the secret elite team of the commandos there. And he's a very capable man of being the strongest leader that Israel's ever had. But he's made a league with the devil, and you just check his record. Check his record. He says all these good things, and he makes all these strong declarations. But in essence, he ends up allowing things to happen. For instance, he's been the prime minister of Netanyahu for four different terms. He's the most elected prime minister of Israel since 1948. He's had the premiership four times. Nobody else has done that, even close to it. And yet, what has Israel done since 1948? For the last 70 years, what has Israel done? She has built underground military bases right there in the land of Israel, right out there under Jerusalem. She has built no less than six underground secret bases. Nuclear bases. Their secret service is called the Mossad. The Mossad is the same kind of secret service as we have with the FBI and our secret service in this country. They're all Illuminati Jesuit controlled. and all the leaders that are elected in Israel, one way or another, have made a league with the devil here in the West, with Washington, D.C., and London, England, and the Vatican in Rome. Those three royal cities in the earth are independent nations of themselves, but they're all in league together. And so the leader of Israel, even though Great Britain gave up the autonomy of Israel in 1948, they still have a great influence over that country. And Netanyahu is one of their trained stooges that is a very strong, but he's a very vacillating person. He says, you elect me this time for a fourth term, he said the last time, and he said, I will open up the building of houses and so forth. And just as soon as they elect him, what does he do? He puts a temporary halt on any more new structures here and there and everywhere. And he just got through pledging that he was going to lift those restrictions. And every time he gets in there, he reinforces them like Ariel Sharon did. But he got Ariel Sharon killed, and it's going to get Netanyahu destroyed as well. Him making a league with these Western powers, the Illuminati, and the Secret Service, and operating contrary. Well, I read the news. I watch what the leaders of these nations are doing. Just like Netanyahu, they developed the biggest gas field in the world. They're in the Mediterranean Ocean. But who did Israel employ to develop that gas field? Your oil companies and gas companies from the United States, Chevron and Shell and Exxon and Mobil and Standard. All of our major oil companies are the ones that he made a league with to go over there, and now those oil companies are going to take over the largest oil field in the world and take it out of the hands of Israel and give them a little royalty benefit from it. And then make all the billions of dollars profit themselves. So, even though it looks great on the forefront, Netanyahu has made that kind of a deal with the enemy. This is what I'm telling you. He's Rezin, and Rezin is the king of Assyria, which is Assad, and Pekah is Netanyahu of Israel. Chapter 8, verse 1-8. Moreover, Yahweh said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mahershala Hazbaz. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jerichiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said Yahweh unto me, call his name Mahershala Hazbaz. But before the child can have knowledge to cry of my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. Yahshua spake also unto me again, saying, forasmuch as this people Israel refuses the waters of Shiloh, the protective host of heaven, that go softly and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son, glory in their national government, now therefore, behold, the Yahshua bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of the sea and all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks, and he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Now, did you get that? Let's read that again. Moreover, chapter 8 of Isaiah, verses 1-8. Moreover means in addition to what he just said. The Yahweh said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mahershala Hazbaz, which was the firstborn son of Isaiah, born of the flesh, that inherited the birthright to be the progenitor of the righteous line. But he lost his birthright because he was born of the flesh and never could be born of the spirit. And the firstborn is always born of the flesh. You'll find this out always. And I took unto me faithful witnesses, reported Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Joachiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Yahweh unto me, call his name Mahershalal-Hazbaz, for before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria, shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. Okay. Now, the king of Assyria today, we done told you who the king of Assyria is. It's Obama. Okay, he's also the king of Babylon. Whenever Assyria is through, Babylon takes on where Assyria leaves off. Okay? Now, watch this. The Yahshua spake also unto me again. The Yahweh spake, saying, forasmuch as this people Israel refuses the waters of Shiloh. Now, he's talking about Gilead Center here, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He's talking about Rutherford W. Johnson directly here as the angel of the candlestick in 2002. He said, the Yahweh spake also, meaning, in addition to this, moreover, he also spake to me again the second time, saying, for as much as this people Israel, Gilead Center, representing the Seventh-day Adventist Church, refuses the waters of Shiloh. Who is Shiloh? Yahshua is another name for Shiloh. What did Yahshua tell the woman at the well? I have, the disciples, he says, I have water to drink of that you know not. I have meat to eat of that you know not. He told the woman at the well, if you'd asked me a drink, I'd give you living water, spring up unto eternal life. Okay? That's your waters of Shiloh. Eternal life. The prophet, the protective host of heaven. So it says, the Yahweh spake also unto me again, saying, for as much as this people, Brother W. Johnson at Gilead Center, the third feeding pasture, with the restored sanctuary, completely restoration of sanctuary, refuses the waters of Shiloh. He refused that message from heaven, July 14, 2002. That was the same thing as refusing the waters of Shiloh. In other words, what it would take them to get rid of his sin so that he could step into the next hour, prophetic hour, the 12th hour, and continue on leading the people then to full pure perfection. So he refused those waters, the protective host of heaven, that go softly and rejoice and resin and Ramalasan, glory in their national government. Now therefore, behold, the Yahshua bringeth up upon them the waters of the rivers, of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria. Okay? So Assyria, Obama, Yahweh allowed him to set up the Muslim Brotherhood. He raised up a Secretary of State to work for Obama that would orchestrate the war against Libya in northern Africa. That's right next door to Egypt. And which Egypt is also in northern Africa. Okay. And so he says, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, and all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels, and shall go over all his banks, and he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall even reach even unto the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Emmanuel is Yahweh's chosen people, the 144,000. These are the Emmanuels of today. Okay, that is, though ancient Judah was not to suffer defeat by the confederacy of Israel and Syria. Now notice the king of Pekah, which is Netanyahu, his throne is in Jerusalem. That's where his throne is at, so he's ruling from Jerusalem. But Reza, this king Assad, is ruling from Samaria up north. So he says, though ancient Judah was not to suffer defeat by the confederacy of Netanyahu and Assad, king of Syria, she was nevertheless also to be brought under tribute unto ancient Assyria. Ancient Assyria. Okay. And as we shall see, the spirit of this confederacy did not end with that of ancient Israel and Syria. So that conspiracy did not end there with the ancient one. The high points of this confederacy, some of which are still unfulfilled, fall into sequence thusly. Number one, the overthrow of both ancient Israel and Syria by ancient Assyria as a divine judgment, especially upon Israel, for confederating against her own brethren, the king of Judah, Isaiah 7:2-9. So now you know why Jerusalem is in under siege today by the Gentile forces of the Muslims. They're half-brother, they're total arch-enemy. You see why they're under siege. Because of this prophecy here. Number two, the birth of a man-child, Emmanuel, to a virgin for a sign to the house of David. The birth of a man-child. This is the branch, the Isaac branch that's raised up under David. Jeremiah 23:5. Isaiah 7:13-14. Number three, the birth of a son, Mahershala Hasbaz, unto the prophet himself for signs and for wonders in Israel. Isaiah 8:18. So who does Mahershala Hasbaz represent then in Israel? He represents the Ishmael. He represents the descendants of Ishmael, the Palestinians, the Muslims, the firstborn of the flesh. The Esauites, he represents Esau, he represents the Ishmael. He represents all these here born of the flesh that gets the first opportunity to rule upon the throne of David. So it says the birth of his son, Mahershala Hasbaz, that he prophet himself for signs and for wonders in Israel, Isaiah 8:18. For the overthrow of Israel to occur before Emmanuel could learn to differentiate even from good, and before Mahershala Hasbaz to say, my father and my mother, Isaiah 7:16 and chapter 8:4, an amplification of this cluster of the events, several facts stand out in unmistakable self-interpretation. Number one, Emmanuel, by virtue of his virgin birth and his name Elohim with us, Matthew 1:23, can only be Yahshua with us. And if Yahshua is with us today, where do we look for this virgin birth? He is born of the 144,000 which are virgins. He is born of the house of David, and the 144,000 are identified as virgin, and the five wise, the ten virgins, the five wise and the five foolish virgins, the five wise virgins are represented by the pure church. The 144,000 represents virgins, the pure church. So Yahshua is born unto this pure church in our day. So Yahweh with us, Matthew 1:23, can only be Yahshua with us. Number two, he was born for a sign that the unholy alliance between Israel and Syria. So today that would translate into the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists being confederate with the Washington, D.C. capital of the federal capital of the United States, which Washington, D.C. within itself is an alien nation all of its own, with its own independent government, completely opposite of the Constitution of the United States. The constitutional government of the United States represents the government of the free people of the 50 states. The Constitution of Washington, D.C. Is represented by the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The Constitution of the United States represents the laws of our government for America. Washington, D.C. has a flag that has the gold fringe around it, whereas the flag of the Constitution of the United States don't have the gold fringe around it. So Washington, D.C. and alien nation have their own flag, to have their own government, which is union-like, and is contrary to the government of the Constitution, and they have a flag that is nothing like the original flag that was the Constitution adopted. And so we have an alien nation ruling over 50 states, which are nothing but independent corporations. They're corporate states. That's all they are. And so Washington, D.C. is nothing but a big corporation, a big business corporation that has formed their own laws and constitution, which is the Uniform Code of Military Justice. I have a copy of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. I had to have it when I went into the Navy, because that's what I went under for 3.5 years. I was under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, not the Constitution of the United States. Okay. Number three, the lands Israel and Syria, which Judah abhorred, were to be forsaken of both their kings. Conquered by the king of Assyria before Manuel was to be able to receive evil and choose good, and before Mahershala Hasbaz was to be able to say my father and my mother. So if Obama, which is the King Cyrus of the Medes and the Persians, Donald Trump, antithetical King Cyrus, which he's on his way to very well overthrowing this government of Assyria, then he becomes the king of Assyria, just like Cyrus did in the past. When he overthrew Babylon, they said he became the king of Babylon. At the same time, he was king of the Medes and the Persians. Go read it. You can read on the encyclopedia there, Wikipedia on the internet. It shows where Cyrus, all the nations he conquered, he became the king of them. Okay, same thing with the Donald Trump. He conquers the United States, he becomes the king of Assyria. It takes the place of Obama. Okay. Well, this brings the close of our study. This is our contest. That's the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this now, service with a song. Dusty roads and sandal feet. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for he walked those dusty roads you had made. Walking prostrate and prone, carried burden all alone, as he journeyed along that road to Calvary. Dusty roads and sandal feet, for the journey was complete. From the manger to the cross, to the golden street, to the place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty roads and sandal feet. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for there's nothing in this world to him. Water into wine, cast out demons, heal the blind, and that's why I believe in that man of Galilee. Dusty roads and the feet, oh, the journey was complete, from the manger to the cross, in a golden street, to a place in this land where someday we all shall meet. Feet were often weary underneath a heavy load. Never complaining as he went along his way on the way to Mount Calvary and the judgment day. Dusty roads and no feet, oh, the journey was complete from the manger to the cross. But in a golden street, in a place. Sandal feet. I have reason to Joshua, come and down your street. Preach me a secure some kind of penitentiary. I wish to be like Jonah, alone and defeated. Dusty roads and no fear for the journey was to be from the manger to the cross. He was known as free to a place in this land where some dirty old shall meet. He caught through the crystal, the dusty roads and no.